quotation from Srila Prabhupada, which personally has motivated me very much to go into our scriptures and find out what it is the meaning of Krishna Katha, or talking about Krishna. See, when Krishna Katha is done responsibly, as we wish to do it here, full attention, then Krishna can manifest in the audience. In India, when there is Krishna Katha going on, the devotees reserve two seats in the back of the Krishna Katha. One seat is for Radha and the other for Krishna. And it is understood that while the talk about Krishna goes on, Radha and Krishna personally come and sit at the back of the audience. Now, when someone in the audience, when they know that someone in the audience is very eager to listen and hear about them, they come from the back of the room and move forward and enter the heart of those in the audience. So that's the understanding. Hearing about Krishna, in other words, is a practice done in our tradition where we invite Krishna to come in our hearts. Now, I do know that this is a very big project, and in the International Society for Distraction away from Krishna, it is sometimes a very difficult task, because so I request all of you to make up your mind if you want to take part in this, and if you want to do it, you have to be really respectful to the task which goes on. Now, what's my effect in Krishna consciousness can be attained? Srila Prabhupada once said that Krishna's place for Loka Vrindavan is spread everywhere. It's not that we are here and Krishna is somewhere above our heads. No, as soon as there are devotees who listen about Krishna, Tatrajishta Vinarada Yatrajayati Matata, Krishna comes. Krishna says, I do not stay in Vaikuntha Loka. I'm not even in the hearts of the yogis. I stay at the place where my devotees chant my glories. And I come there immediately. Today, in our humble way, we try to attract Krishna. Please come, stay in our little sangha of Vaishnavas who are staying here in the cold winter of Germany, who are huddled together in a little temple room, and please do come to us. Now the narrator of this katha, which we will listen to this evening, is no one else than the great Shukadev Goswami. And I think you all know, he was there surrounded by many rishis. When he came to the middle of his talk, there were only three more days to live for Parikshit Maharaj. He was discussing about Krishna from morning till late in the night. He did not make one pause. He also did not really wait for food or for drink. They were just so enlivened discussing about Krishna that no one in the audience, not Parikshit, not the saints, want to leave. Now, if 3 more days were left, Shukadev Goswami had just finished talking about how Krishna saved his cowherd boyfriend from the stomach of Agasura, the big snake. His friends had entered the python snake and had fallen dead in the stomach, and now Agasura started to digest them. I mean, it was his idea. And then Krishna had seen that his dear friends were at the verge of death, and he followed them into the body of the snake. The devotees of Krishna in this world feel very happy when they hear this, because they know that Krishna is ready to follow them even in a dangerous situation, save them from death. So this had happened. Agasura, Krishna had entered the mouth of the snake, and then he revived his cowherd boyfriends and went out with them, out of the snake's mouth. Now this time, everyone was very joyful. And Parikshit Maharaj said, "Thank you for telling me about how Krishna saved this cowherd boyfriend. But I would like to know a particular question about Krishna. Can you please answer this?" And Shukadev Goswami listened to the question. And as he listened to the question, which was very good, which was, you know, more information about Krishna, all of a sudden he became very upset. He fainted and he fell down unconscious on the ground. Now imagine someone talks about Krishna and then he faints. That's usually the end of the evening. Imagine I would sit here and all of a sudden go, it would be the end of this part of the evening. Most probably you would ask Ujjashvi, say something, Ujjashvi. So the Shukadev fainted. Everyone was concerned. Narada Muni was there in the audience, and also Vyasadeva Gopala said, "Does anyone have a pair of cartels?" And they got their cartels and instruments together and made a loud noise. And they sang Harinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And they tried to wake up Shukadev Goswami from his fainted condition. Now the question is, why did Shukadev faint? We knew that there are only 3 more days left. The reason why Shukadev fainted was because in his heart he saw something which astonished him and which gave him great joy. He saw that little Krishna was standing alone in Vrindavan, surrounded by the trees and the bushes. There was no one around him, and he was searching for his friends. And this image of Krishna looking for his devotees, and then when he couldn't find them, for Krishna extended himself into all those devotees who were lost, really, gave Shukadev Goswami so much ananda in his heart that he could not keep his attention any longer on the katha, and he just So the whole audience rose and tried to obey Akshubhadeva Goswami, who was just crying and was rolling in the dust. Then finally they managed to rise Shukadeva, and they asked him, can you please continue? And Shukadeva Goswami said, all right. And he started to talk. This is the type of discussion which we will now listen to. It is a discussion of lovers of God who are ecstatic, who are promoter, man in ecstasy, and whose only occupation in life is to hear about Krishna, to praise Krishna, and to chant His holy name. Believe it or not, we, although we are so unqualified, and I'm most unqualified, we will try to engage in this katha this evening. But my dear audience, I want to ask you, my words are like ordinary water from the well, but even ordinary words can become glorious if they are in contact with Krishna. It's like as if ordinary well water is giving a bath to the deity Krishna. When it flows from the deity, it is no longer ordinary well water. It is Charanamrita. So I pray to Srila Prabhupada and to all of you that my ordinary words will be able to touch Krishna, and as they flow into your ears, they are no longer ordinary words, but they are Charanamrita. And I pray that you will be able to concentrate, although it may be difficult in your life to give all the attention which you wish to give to Krishna. I pray that although you may sometimes feel that you are not very deep in your Krishna consciousness, that for the time of the katha, you will be able to concentrate entirely and give your attention, and then you will get something wonderful. This is not up to me because I'm a useless beggar. It is up to Krishna if He will bless all of us, speak and hear, and manifest in our heart. It was Balaram's birthday. Lord Balaram would come every day with Krishna in the morning out into the forest. But on that day he sent a letter to Krishna. In this letter to Krishna he said, "Oh brother, today is my birthday. My uncle has come to see me on the birthday. And he does not move from my room. He's like a tree standing there. Please, fulfill your desires today without me. I have to stay there." On the day, Rumini had told Balaram, "Oh, Baladev, today you must stay back. It's your birthday. And on your birthday, you must give charity to the Brahmanas. You must engage in yajna, and you must do some austerities." My dear devotees, from this we can learn that you have birthday. It's not the time for you to get drunk on fruit juice and filled up on Schwarz in the Kirschtorte. It is time for you to become a little bit more introspective. It's the day when you have come into this world. You should give charity. You should celebrate it with doing a sacrifice. And you should do some austerities. This is the very way to celebrate birthday.
So, Krishna
on this day all of his companions. Oh Shridam, oh Kinkini, bring all our cows together and let us go to the forest of Vrindavan. In the forest of Vrindavan, we know the great snake Agasura was lying after Krishna had killed Agasura. He went out of the mouth, and as he went out of the mouth, he looked around like a little boy, and he saw there was the soul of Agasura in the sky. This soul had waited for Krishna, and when Krishna was there, he recognized, he is my Lord and Master, and he went into the body of Krishna to get his liberation. Then the demigods had seen this. They had played on their drums, and they had sung a song. They had said, Krishna is our Lord. Have you seen how he has liberated the diseased snake and made him his personal associate? There was a loud, loud music going through the universe. It was almost like, you know, if in Brooklyn, the Rolling Stones play, or you do, then we will hear it here in the auditorium. So, when the demigods made their concert to celebrate Krishna, especially using huge kettle drums, Rama had heard it. He had come, what is all this festival about? Come. And he had seen how the soul of Agasura entered Krishna's divine body. And he decided, let me check on this little boy. So when Krishna had left the playground where Agasura had been killed, he came to a forested area in Vrindavan. It was an ideal place for him and his cowherd boys to make a pause. A gentle breeze was blowing, taking the drops of water from the Jamuna, and it was cooling everyone very nicely. The scent was pure and white. It looked like powder camphor. There was a circle of tall green trees whose branches joined and formed a natural canopy to give shade to Krishna and his millions of cows and boy friends. When Lord Krishna saw this place, he said, "Oh my friends, this is the ideal place for you to refresh yourself." He sat down in the middle, and then he sat down. Immediately, 8 cowherd boys sat around him in a circle. You must know Krishna is Asha Sakis, 8. And he is also Asha Sakas, 8 Sakas, our boyfriend. And they sat in a close circle. Then 16 sat in another circle. Then 32 in another circle. And finally, it was millions of them sitting in concentric circles. And the Bhagavatam says, Shukadeva says, they were all straining, looking forward to see Krishna. And Krishna, true to the Upanishadic statement that everywhere has faces in his hands and his legs, expanded himself so that each of the sakas, each of the counterboys, Krishna. Would you like to know how Krishna looked? He carried a flute. in his left hand, which was as tender as a leaf. He had an elegant stick, and his right side was a red stick with golden embroidery work. And he had an enchanting buffalo horn. It's called Mega Gosh, this buffalo horn, tucked in the side. And when he blows into this buffalo horn, it's very loud and very deep. The demons pass water and everything else. And this devotee stands in joy. It's a very divine sound. He has sparkling rings on his fingers. He had a nice Vaijayanti garden, which was prepared by Srimati Radharani around him. Then he ran, this would swing back and forth, which was a problem for the bees who wanted to land on the garden. So Krishna did look very joyful as he was sitting there amongst his beloved friends. His face was colorful because he had taken the colorful minerals from the earth, and some of his sakas had made nice ornaments over him. I believe that the woman sees so close with his glasses has also these type of ornaments which were lovingly painted by his friends. His friends would say, "Oh, Gopa, now keep your face still. Why do your eyes move?" Krishna would, No. What's all Gopa, be still. And then Sridhar would take his finger like this, and his thumb and little finger like this, and fix Krishna's face. "When are you ready?" said Krishna. Soon. And then, lovingly, with tears of love in his eyes, Sridhar Sakha would apply these wonderful ornaments, which are very, very beautiful. So he was sitting like this. And because Krishna is very beautiful, all his friends wanted to see him. I think you must have heard, looking at this here, that the coward boys are so attached to Krishna that if he moves while they walk through the forest behind a tree, it's just for a moment, they can't see him, they begin to cry, "Where are you, friend?" Krishna will answer, "Amantra, I'm here." So there is a very loving connection. So they all look forward, looking at Krishna, and Krishna made it possible that everyone could see him by using a Shakti of his. The Satya Sankalpa Shakti was with many Shaktis, so that everyone just looked at him and feasted their eyes. Now, when my spiritual master was on the bed which he would never leave again in Vrindavan, and he was preparing for his departure, he spoke a commentary to this verse into the microphone, and he said, "The idea of this Krishna consciousness movement is expressed very nicely in this verse. The friends of Krishna sitting around Krishna in concentric circles and looking forward. This movement was made so that all its members would look forward to see only Krishna."
Very well.
To my own family, Prabhupada sent a letter on this subject. My older brother, Vaidyana, had translated the Hare Krishna cookbook into German language. Today I look into the car of one devotee who had, believe it or not, 6 cookbooks spread out. He likes to eat, this devotee, and likes to cook, and also uses this attachment in Krishna service very nicely. So my brother had made a cookbook which I didn't find amongst the cookbooks. And he had sent this cookbook to Srila Prabhupada. The letter came back from Prabhupada. He said, I thank you very much for your German cookbook. Of course, I don't know to read German and don't know if the recipes are good. But I saw the cover of your cookbook. Krishna in the middle of all the friends who sit around him. And I like your cover very much. This was Srila Prabhupada's idea of this movement. Krishna in the center, everyone around. They only see him, they only have time to talk about him, and they only have him in the mind. How do you like such a movement?
Wonderful.
I would say it's a good theory. It's a good attempt, maybe. I think if the members of this movement take this a little bit more serious and think deeply how they can place Krishna in the center of their lives will be glorious and happy, and there will be no distress in their days. Now, how did they eat? I just need to tell you all of this because soon a drama will happen and you need to be prepared for this. The children, they put the sticks with a cloth at the end where they have the food in the first in the trees, and then when they sat down, they took this and they took. They didn't have really plates, so they took flowers, big flowers, and put their food on the flowers. Some took the bark of trees, others put their food on stones and ate from stones, and still others just spread their chadas and ate. And when they wanted to mush up or drink, they would just get up and go to the Yamuna and drink the Yamuna water. This Vrindavan life, the whole environment serves the Leela. Then they were joking with each other. One boy said to Krishna, Krishna, the food cooked by my mother is so absolutely good, but unfortunately there's only so little here that I can't share anything. And Krishna, who is very intelligent in many ways, would say, oh, dear friend, that's very interesting, but please look there. There's a monkey who sits just like a perfect gentleman without moving. This is very interesting. So his friend would look at the gentleman and the monkey, and then Krishna would just lean over and take all the excellent food. Sometimes when the boys saw how Krishna was steaming food, they were laughing so hard that the bites which they were chewing in their mouth were just agitated, and they just, I don't know if this happens to you, sometimes I think this happens, they were just laughing so hard that the food, the rice, just spurted out of their mouth and fell on Krishna, who looks like a sapphire, and the white rice freshly chewed by the devotees. Krishna's body looked very nice. But you know that Brahma saw how Krishna was just joking like an ordinary little boy. He thought, only foolishness offered in Yahya is known as Yahya Bhuk. That is wherever the Brahmanas are, in whatever part of the universe, they offer food to the Lord, and the, my Lord eats everything of this. They offer the complicated rituals, and it's very pure. But here, the person who's worshipped by the Brijbasis as God, it's not really pure. In fact, the food half eaten by his friend is all over his body. Oh, because he laughed so hard. He's joking. He's stealing food. He's not very pure. This can't be God. But maybe he is. So just to find this person's God, I shall pass. So Brahma, by his mystical Shakti, made like, I would say like one devotee in 14, but there is manifested fresh, a line of fresh grass. And the calves who were grazing nearby saw this line of fresh grass. They decided to follow the line. They were like a new devotee who comes by a kiosk and sees some chocolate bars and decides to follow his taste. So the little calves left Krishna and the cowherd boys to follow that line of green grass and go in the forest. And then they were far away from the boys, far away from Krishna. Brahma, who wanted to see what Krishna would do, then again. And when he did like this, all of the calves were transported to a different place in the universe. Now Krishna, the cowherd boys were just happily eating. All of a sudden, one of the cowherd boys looked and didn't see the calves. With great fear, he said, Krishna, the calves are gone, they have disappeared. And Krishna looked and saw the work of Brahma. He smiled. Oh, my dear cowherd boys, don't fear. Don't be an illusion. I will personally go and bring the calves. And he got up. Now to shook his cowherd friends, boyfriends, they were thinking, if Krishna gets up, he might be hungry because he has interrupted his food. So they said, no, don't go. You keep on eating and we will look. But Krishna, who was anticipating this, had his hand full of rice and yogurt, the fruit, as if saying, no, I have my food arrangement here, I will eat from my hand and I will be very happy. And you just eat. I can do this, say, not very easily, and I will be back very soon. And following the track of the calves, Krishna went alone into the forest. He went to Govardhan Mountain. That's a nice picture in the background today. He went near Radhakund. He went into India. And all of a sudden he saw that there were footprints of the calves. They stopped. There were no further footprints. that was the place where Brahman had stolen the cars. So he returned, looking for his friends. And when he came to the area where his friends were, he saw the bundles, he saw the sticks, he saw the turbans. But Krishna didn't see his beloved friends. This was, of course, the work of Brahma, who had not only stolen the cars, but when Krishna was lured away from his friends, he had stolen the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna as well. When Krishna did not see his cowherd boyfriend, he began to cry like an ordinary child who had lost his playmates. And he called out, "O Manu Mangal, O Srinath, O Kinkiri, just moments ago we were playing and we were eating and we were sharing our food. Where are you?" And then he called out very loud, "Ahamatra, I'm here, can you hear me?" But no answer came. Brahma, who saw this, he's bewildered like an ordinary boy. Everything works according to plan. What Brahma did not see is something very mystical. And if you can concentrate a little bit more, I will tell you. You know, no one can steal the cowherd boys from Krishna. If you are with Krishna, no one can take you away from Krishna. What Brahma was stealing were material boys and material cars produced by Krishna's material energy, not his harika, his devotees. Krishna was sitting and eating at a place near the Yamuna with his cowherd boyfriends as before. But for Brahma, he, by whom the whole world put an illusion, was putting on a very nice leela. And we, who are people of this world, will see this leela. We cannot see the other leela. And we see something very, very nice. Krishna, alone in Vrindavan, he has gotten up from his meal and he follows his devotees. My dear devotees, this is a good thing for us. Usually devotees don't fall down. But if it should happen that one of us becomes allured by Maya and leaves Krishna consciousness momentarily, the Lord will get up personally from his midday meal and he will go after his devotee. Sometimes it may happen that a devotee, due to past sanskaras, past impressions, will leave the path of Krishna consciousness and go back to the material world. In fact, I see a few of you who have done that journey. But Krishna never forgets any service which is done by his devotee. also come and made an arrangement so that his devotee will accompany him. It may sometimes look as if a devotee who leaves Krishna consciousness falls back to the material world. In fact, you might even know some devotees here in the Lokadam who have done this and whose spiritual effulgence has again been covered by material energy. Maybe you are in that situation as you hear this tape or this recording. But you should take a great, great hope. Krishna never ever lets his devotees totally go. That's why he walks alone through Vrindavan to get his calves and his cowherd boys back. And he gets them back. You can be rest assured. Srila Prabhupada writes in this connection, even if a devotee falls down, he's never to be considered the same as a fallen kami. A kami suffers the result of his own karmic reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. It's not karma if one of us suffers, his wife leaves him, and this and that, and he gets clouded over, and again his hand is decorated not with Sharanamrita but with whiskey. The Lord is chastising his devotee. And Prabhupada gives an example. The suffering of an orphan, organized wisely, who has no one to take care of, and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king, who is always under the vigilance of his capable father. These two situations are never the same. Sometimes it may look as if a devotee is rejected by the Lord. This can also happen, this scenario, that we somehow may seemingly disappoint the Lord so much that he stops giving us his mercy. But there is always hope, even in this scenario. Do you remember the story of Kala and Krishnadas? Personal associate of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He went with Mahaprabhu and he was allured by some gypsies. The gypsy girls allured him and he was with the gypsy girls. And then Mahaprabhu went after him. Glorious is the master who doesn't let go of his servant. He went after him and the gypsy said, what do you want? Mahaprabhu said, you are great people, why have you taken my assistant? And the Bhadrahari said, you won't get him back. The gypsy said, you won't get him back. And they attacked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with raised weapons. Yes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord. And when someone attacks the Lord, the attack will reflect back on the attacker. So the weapons started to attack the attackers, the gypsies. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu went to Radha Krishna and said, gradually let it come. And he took him out of that maya. He went with him and took him back to Puri. But in Puri he said, this man, look at this man. He was with me, but he has left me. I reject him. I don't want him as a servant. Radha Krishna was crying. The devotee said, do you really reject him? Mahaprabhu didn't answer. Nityananda took special mercy on Kala Krishna and said, here, do this service to the Lord and he will become dear to him again. This sometimes happens also to us. We may fall away and apparently Krishna may reject us, but the devotees of the Lord, unless you have offended them severely, will never let you go. They will pray for you. Their mercy is still there for you. My dear devotees, I personally love this picture of Krishna going after the calves and the cows and not letting them go. I will end with saying something. Remember, Krishna had his head full of the sweet rice. This rice is also the bhakta can also mean bhakta. So the sweet rice for the whole episode which we will hear did not fall out of Krishna's head, because it means that just like Krishna never lets go of the sweet rice, he never lets go of even one single of his
Krishna.
Karuna Krishna ki.
Yeah.
Yes, like this. And so, Brahma wanted to see what Krishna would do. Krishna was thinking to himself, I know this is the work of Brahma, but Brahma is my son, the creator of the universe. I will not chastise him very severely. He is my servant. He has done some nonsense by testing me. But I will now show him my real powers. Up till now I have not shown him anything. Now he will see everything. Not everything. He will see a lot. And what that is, I will not tell you now, but tomorrow. I request all of you I want to kidnap you. We talk about kidnapping. And Krishna, Brahma testing Krishna by taking away his couple of boys and calves. Maybe 18 years ago, I have to ask my Jayanti, what is the jubileum of Rajmata Parigram? Is it the 25th or what was it? 25th. So then it was 23 years ago when I was young and the world was younger. We walked under the guidance of His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj and a camel and an elephant around Vrindavan doing the, it's called Braj Mandal Parikram. If possible, please do that before you are too old and you die. So we walked, and I remember it was the sun was setting in the western horizon. It was like a big mandarin, you know, reddish, and it was sinking. And about the Yamuna, and the devotee said, we just have to cross the Yamuna on the other side of the Yamuna is a place where we will take rest and sleep. Already the tractors have gone there, the prasadam has been driven there, only you are not there. So let us cross the Yamuna. And we all said, okay. We took our dhotis. The man went in front of the dhotis like this as they entered the Yamuna, and the Mataji went behind and took the zaris, and we all went like this through the river. It became this deep, I remember. Dhyanas are made of clay and we carry on our heads. And then as the sun was setting, we arrived on the other side of the Jamuna. But our camp wasn't there. We had to search the whole night for our camp. Right in the darkness of Raj, you know. I never forget this. Madhuji's were starting to cry and faint because we were walking, and I thought the earlier, the more the hours were, the better, because I like such things. A little different to my nation. So I still remember. No one knew where they were. Only I think at 2 o'clock in the morning we saw some light somewhere, and we followed the light, and then we found our camp. The next morning we woke up very late, and we were far. The place where we got lost was this place where Brahma stole the cars and the cowboy boys. But although we had been lost, Krishna found us, and we were finally guided to the camp. I will never forget this. I think it's called the place Chamuha. It's very, very, very nice area. But I will not recommend anyone of you to go there. You might get lost also. It's a place where everyone gets lost. Now, I would like to now bring you to the mystical land of Raj. We have made some very nice photos, and we will just sign it off. And then, let me just ask you. I have to sit there. We will sing and then we will get at you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your body still stays here, so you won't get lost. Krishna.
still the best of those.
This is the best of those.
What known as Haridas.
What known
as Haridas. My dear devotees, this is the picture of Haridev. He is installed by the Rajanava, the grandson of Lord Krishna. Look how beautiful he is. Many times the gopis have visited him. Last Kati, we were there and sang for many hours before the Haridev. In the evening he gave us this very confidential darshan. Oh Govardhan, please grant me a dwelling place near your side, so that I can easily witness and serve youthful lovers, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, as they perform newer secret leelas within your many caves. Splendid gates in your every cave. unparalleled source of happiness for the man, woman, birds, animals, and all living entities of Raj. Devotees worship you, Raj, not by walking around, but by dana vati around. This is AC Baba. So please accept this most fallen, miserable person, and by mercifully bestowing upon me residence near your side, make even poor me a worthy recipient of Sri Krishna's love. There are many sadhus living at the site of Giriraj. Here's one little settlement. They live in these straw huts, you see on the right, but they all have a worship full of Alana. Simple answer like this. Oh God, please grant me a dwelling near your sight. These devotees have been granted a residence, a dwelling, and answer the prayers answered. Here are the parents whose prayers have been answered. Some were devotees of ISKCON in their past life, and now they fly happily around Giriraj. Thank you. kindness to the people, so they could directly taste their sweetness. Radha and Krishna have become these two lakes, shining with happiness. The devotees bathe in these two lakes. But you can ask from the older devotees here in the place.
Thank you. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada's mercy who revealed the Dharma Dharma to us, the rest of the world. I was staying this year, the whole year, in this area which we have shown you in the beginning, Govardhan area, the Kusum Sarova, Drada, and Siamakur, for a whole month. And staying there, I just appreciated so much Srila Prabhupada's gift to us, the gift of Vrindavan Dham. I could really see that this is the home of God in this world. And coming there is such a blessing. Yes, Vrindavan Dham is a place in this world, and the world sometimes seems to cover it in places. You know, there's tourism going on. There's a huge development industry. Really big buildings, high-rise buildings, not Volken Castle, not skyscrapers, but substantial buildings. And then the outer face of Vrindavan does change. But what does not change is Krishna's, say, Krishna's willingness to reveal himself to any sincere pilgrim who comes there and tries to see him through the eyes of his acharyas, through the scriptures, and so on. So in this evening session which we will have, I will try just to share with you my own gratitude to Srila Prabhupada by just talking about Krishna. I know that this is not so, we are not so used in the Hare Krishna movement to talk about Krishna. Fortunately, we are starting to become used to chant his holy name along some time. I could see there's a lot of chanting both in the morning and afternoon. Talking about Krishna is something which is new for us. But I can guarantee you, if you come and you serve this Qatar youth, if you go there not with the idea of I hope I can enjoy something, but you really try to enter this and do service like this, it's going tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, Rasa Qatar Sevana, you have to serve this. Then something might come in your heart which is so beautiful and which will stay with you in the next year and so on. It is possible. So tomorrow we will hear what Krishna did next when his friends and the cows were stolen from him, and he knew it was the work of Brahma, but he did not want to just chastise him totally and, you know, attack him overall. He very, very delicately corrected his dear devotees, dear devotee Brahma. And we will see that tomorrow. It's quite amazing. It's quite moving, actually. So, yes. What should we do now?
Kirtan.
Should we sing this one? Kirtan. I think it's so nice when we sit before the deity side. It's with us. pictures which you saw at the end, they were taken, a few of us, just after the Varshara retreat had finished, we decided to do the ministry of time, to just walk across the garden, roaming through the forest, or the fields of the garden, you could see the atmosphere.